For example, put a large attachment on your keyring. Have a spare set of necessary items such as keys, eyeglasses, and hearing aid batteries, if at all possible. Get in the habit of checking the contents of waste baskets before you empty them. Check under mattresses, under sofa cushions, in waste baskets, in shoes, and in everyone's bureau drawers for lost items. Ask yourself where the person used to put things for security. Where did he hide Christmas gifts or money? These are good places to look for lost dentures. A key finder or locator is an inexpensive remote control device that you can attach to things that are easily lost, such as the television remote, keys, and glasses. When you click on the Find button, a bell will ring and/or a light will appear on the lost item. Some people hoard or save food, dirty clothes, or other possessions. Some people hoard things because they have always collected things. Others seem to need to hold on to something or to keep things safe. If this happens occasionally, it's best to ignore it. If possible, when you clean up, leave a little of the person's stash. He may feel less need to add to the collection than he would if he found his supply wiped out. One daughter said, "I solved my problem when I decided that it was all right to keep the silver in a laundry hamper. Now I look for it there instead of carrying it back to the dining room several times a day." Rummaging in drawers and closets. Some people rummage through dresser drawers or take everything out of closets, making a mess for you to clean up. It can be particularly upsetting when they rummage through other people's things. You may have to put a hard-to-work latch on some drawers and closets. You may need to put a lock on one drawer and put dangerous or valuable things in it, or you may need to move such things to a safer place. Baby latches may secure a door or a drawer. If there are young people in the household, they especially will need a private and unmolested place. It may help to fill a top dresser drawer or a box on top of the dresser with interesting things for the person to sort through. This will give him a sense of purpose, but allow you to secure the rest of the drawers. Select items that will interest him. Small tools and machine parts will appeal to one person, while sewing supplies will interest another. Inappropriate sexual behavior. Sometimes people who have dementia take off their clothes or wander out into the living room or down the street undressed. One teenage boy came home to find his father sitting on the back porch reading the newspaper. He was naked except for his hat. Occasionally, people who have dementia will expose themselves in public. Sometimes they will fondle their genitals, or they will fidget in such a way that their fidgeting reminds others of sexual behaviors. One man repeatedly undid his belt buckle and unzipped his trousers. A woman kept fidgeting with the buttons of her blouse. Sometimes brain damage will cause a person to demand sexual activities frequently or inappropriately. But much more common than actual inappropriate sexual behavior is the myth that old people commonly develop inappropriate sexual behaviors. One wife who brought her husband to the hospital for care confessed that she had no problems managing him, but that she had been told that, as he got worse, he would go into his second childhood and start exposing himself to little girls. There is no basis to this myth. Inappropriate sexual behaviors in people with illnesses that cause dementia are uncommon. In a study of our patients with dementia, instances of such behavior were very uncommon. Accidental self-exposure and aimless masturbation do sometimes happen. Disoriented people may wander out in public undressed or partially dressed simply because they have forgotten where they are, how to dress, or the importance of being dressed. They may undo their clothes or lift up a skirt because they need to urinate and have forgotten where the bathroom is. They may undress because they want to go to bed or because a garment is uncomfortable. Urinary tract infections, itching, or discomfort may lead to handling the genital area. Check with your doctor. Don't overreact to this behavior. Just lead the person calmly back to his room or to the bathroom. If you find the person undressed, calmly bring him a robe and matter-of-factly help him put it on. The man who sat on the porch undressed had taken off his clothes because it was hot. He was unable to recognize that he was outside, was in sight of other people, and was not in the privacy of his home. Most people who have dementia will never exhibit even this kind of behavior because their lifelong habits of modesty may remain. Undressing or fidgeting with clothing can often be stopped by changing the kind of clothing the person wears. For example, use pants that pull on instead of pants with a fly in them. Use blouses that slip on or zip up the back instead of buttoning in front. In our culture, we have strong negative feelings about masturbation, and such actions are upsetting to most families. Remember that this behavior, when it occurs, is a result of the brain damage. It does not mean that the person will develop other upsetting sexual behaviors. The person is only doing what feels good. He has forgotten his social manners. If this occurs, try not to act upset because it may precipitate a catastrophic reaction. Gently lead the person to a private place. Try distracting him by giving him something else to do. If a person's fidgeting is suggestive or embarrassing, turn his attention to some other activity or give him something else to fidget with. We know of no case in which a person who has dementia has exposed himself to a child, and we do not wish to contribute to the myths about dirty old men by focusing on such behavior. However, should such an incident occur, react matter-of-factly and without creating any more fuss than is absolutely necessary. Your reaction may have much more impact on the child than the actual incident had. Remove the person quietly and explain to the child he forgets where he is. Some people who have dementia have a diminished sex drive, and some have more interest in sex than they did previously. If a person develops increased sexuality, remember that, however distressing this is, it is a factor of the brain injury. It is not a factor of personality or a reflection on you or your prior relationship with him. Occasionally, a father may make inappropriate advances to his daughter. This is not incestuous behavior. While it can be terribly upsetting for everyone, it usually means only that he is unable to recognize familiar people. Probably he has mistaken his daughter for his wife. Daughters often look much like their mothers did when the mother was a young wife. The person who has dementia may remember that time much more clearly than the present. Such gestures indicate that he does remember his wife and their marriage. Gently redirect him when this happens and try not to be too distressed. Don't hesitate to discuss upsetting sexual behavior with a doctor, a counselor, or even other families. They can help you understand and cope with it. The person you choose should be knowledgeable about dementia and comfortable discussing sexual matters. He may make specific suggestions to reduce the behavior. Also, refer to Chapter 12 under Sexuality and Chapter 16 under Sexual Issues in Nursing Homes or Other Care Facilities. Repeating the question. Many families find that people who have dementia ask the same question over and over, and that this is extremely irritating. In part, this behavior may be a symptom of the fear and insecurity that is common in people who can no longer make sense out of their surroundings. The person may not remember things for even brief periods and have no recollection of having asked you before or of your answer. Sometimes, instead of answering the question again, it's helpful to reassure the person that everything is fine and that you will take care of things. Sometimes the person is worried about something else which he is unable to express. If you can correctly guess what this is and reassure him, he may relax. For example, Mr. Rockwell's mother kept asking, "When is my mother coming for me?" When Mr. Rockwell told her that her mother had been dead for many years, she would either get upset or ask the question again in a few minutes. Mr. Rockwell realized that the question really expressed her feelings that she was lost, and he began saying, "I will take care of you." This obviously calmed his mother. Mr. Rockwell might also try saying, "Tell me about your mother," or, "Do you remember when your mother took us to the play?" repetitious actions. An occasional and distressing behavior that may occur in people with a brain disease is the tendency to repeat the same action over and over. Mrs. Weber's mother-in-law folded the laundry over and over. Mrs. Weber was glad the older woman was occupied, but this same activity upset her husband. He would shout, "Mother, you have already folded that towel 5 times. Mrs. Andrews had trouble with baths. She would wash just one side of her face. "Wash the other side," her daughter would say, but she kept on washing the same spot. Mr. Barnes paces around and around the kitchen in the same pattern, like a bear in a cage. It seems as if the damaged mind has a tendency to get stuck on one activity and has difficulty shifting gears to a new activity. When this happens, gently suggest that the person do a specific new task, but try not to pressure him or sound upset, because doing so can easily precipitate a catastrophic reaction. In the case of Mrs. Weber's mother-in-law, ignoring the problem worked well. As Mr. Weber came to accept his mother's illness, the behavior ceased to bother him. Mrs. Andrews' daughter found out that gently patting her mother's cheek where she wanted her to wash next would get her out of the repetitious pattern. Touch is a very good way to get a message to the brain when words fail. Touch the arm you want a person to put in a sleeve. Touch the place you want the person to wash next. Touch a hand with a spoon to cue a person to pick it up. Mr. Barnes's wife found ways to distract him from pacing by giving him something to do. "Here, Joe, hold this," she would say, and hand him a spoon. "Now hold this," and she would take the spoon and give him a pot holder. Helping enabled him to stop pacing. It kept him busy and perhaps also made him feel needed. Distractibility. People who have dementia are often easily distracted. The person may look elsewhere or grab at other things while you're trying to get his clothes on. He may eat the food on someone else's plate. He may walk off while you're talking to him. Part of our brain filters out things we don't want to pay attention to. This is how you tune out unimportant noises, for example. When dementia damages this ability, the person may be unable to ignore extraneous stimuli and be equally attracted to everything that is happening, no matter how unimportant some of it may be. If you can identify the things that distract him, people, animals, and sudden noises are common distractions, you may be able to minimize the distractions so that he can better focus on one activity, such as dressing. Put his plate a little farther from the other plates. Have fewer visitors at once. Visit in a calm, quiet area. If he's distracted by the television or radio, turn it off. Arrange for eating and other activities to take place where other people are not moving about and talking. Clinging or persistently following you around. Shadowing. Families tell us that people who have dementia sometimes follow the caregiver from room to room, becoming fretful if the caregiver disappears into the bathroom or the basement, or the person who has dementia may constantly interrupt whenever the caregiver tries to rest or get a job done. Few things can irritate one more than being followed around all the time. This behavior can be understood when we consider how strange the world must seem to a person who constantly forgets. The trusted caregiver becomes the only security in a world of confusion. When a person can't depend on himself to remember the necessary things in life, one form of security is to stick close to someone who does know. The memory-impaired person can't remember that if you go into the bathroom, you will be right back out. To his mind, with his confused sense of time, it may seem as if you have vanished. A child-proof doorknob on the bathroom door may help give you a few minutes of privacy. Sometimes setting a timer and saying, "I will be back when the timer goes off," will help. One husband got himself a set of headphones so he could listen to music while his wife continued to talk. Then he got her a set because he discovered that she enjoyed the music. It's most important that you try not to let annoying behaviors such as these wear you down. You must find other people who will help with the person so you can get away and do the things that relax you. Go visiting or shopping, take a nap, or enjoy an uninterrupted bath. Using medication to stop behaviors like these is often unsuccessful, and the side effects can be disabling. Unless the behavior places the person who has dementia or someone else in danger, medication should be used only after other attempted solutions have failed. Find simple tasks that the person can do, even if they are things that you could do better or things that are repetitious. Winding a ball of yarn, dusting, or stacking magazines may make a person feel useful and keep him occupied while you do your work. Mrs. Hunter's mother-in-law, who has dementia, followed Mrs. Hunter around the house, never letting her out of her sight and always criticizing. Mrs. Hunter hit upon the idea of having her mother-in-law fold the wash. Because Mrs. Hunter has a large family, she has a lot of wash. The older woman folds, unfolds, and refolds laundered items, not very neatly, and feels like a useful part of the household. Is it unkind to give a person made-up tasks to keep her occupied? We don't think so, and neither does Mrs. Hunter. The woman who has dementia needs to feel that she is contributing to the family, and she needs to be active. Complaints and insults. Sometimes people who have dementia repeatedly complain, despite your kindest efforts. The person may say things like, "You're cruel to me. I want to go home. You stole my things," or "I don't like you." When you're doing all that you can to help, you may feel hurt or angry when he says such things. When he looks and sounds well, your first response may be to take the criticism personally. You can quickly get into a painful and pointless argument, which may cause him to have a catastrophic reaction and perhaps even scream, cry, and throw things at you, leaving you exhausted and upset. If he speaks unkindly, step back and think through what is happening. Even though the person looks well, he has an injury to his brain. Having to be cared for, feeling lost, and losing his possessions and independence may seem to him like cruel experiences. "You are cruel to me" may really mean life is cruel to me. Because he can't accurately sort out the reality around him, he may misinterpret your efforts to help as stealing from him. He may not be able to accept, understand, or remember the facts of his increasing impairment, his financial situation, the past relationship he had with you, and all the other things you are aware of. For example, he knows only that his things are gone and you are there. Therefore, he feels that you must have stolen his things. A wife contributed the following interpretations of the things her husband often said. Of course, we cannot know what a person who has dementia feels or means, but this wife has found loving ways to interpret and accept the painful things her husband says. He says, "I want to go home." He means, "I want to go back to the condition of life, the quality of life, when everything seemed to have a purpose and I was useful, when I could see the products of my hands, and when I was without the fear of small things." He says, "I don't want to die." He means, "I am sick, although I feel no pain. Nobody realizes just how sick I am. I feel this way all of the time, so I must be going to die. I am afraid of dying." He says, "I have no money." He means, "I used to carry a wallet with some money in it. It is not in my back pants pocket now. I am angry because I cannot find it. There is something at the store that I want to buy. I'll have to look some more." He says, "Where is everyone?" He means, "I see people around me, but I don't know who they are. These unfamiliar faces do not belong to my family. Where is my mother? Why has she left me?" In coping with remarks such as these, avoid contradicting the person or arguing with him. Those responses may lead to a catastrophic reaction. Try not to say, "I didn't steal your things. You are home," or "I gave you some money." Try not to reason with the person. Telling him, Your mother died 30 years ago will only confuse and upset him more. Some families find it helpful to ignore many of these complaints or to use distractions. Some families respond sympathetically to the feeling they think is being expressed. Yes, dear, I know you feel lost. Life does seem cruel. I know you want to go home. Of course, you may become angry sometimes, especially when you have heard the same unfair complaint over and over. To do so is human. Probably the person will quickly forget the incident. Sometimes the person who has dementia loses the ability to be tactful. He may say, "I don't like John," and you may know he never did like that person. This can be upsetting. It helps for those involved to understand that the person who has dementia is unable to be tactful, that while he may be being honest, he is not being purposefully unkind. Perhaps you can cope with such remarks, but what about other people? Sometimes people who have dementia make inappropriate or insulting remarks to other people. These can range from naive directness, such as telling the pastor's wife her slip is showing, to shouting at the neighbor who brings dinner, "Get out of my house, you're trying to poison us." People who have dementia may tell casual friends or strangers stories such as, "My daughter keeps me locked in my room." When you take the person to visit, he may put on his coat and say, "Let's go home, this place stinks." Each person who has dementia is different. Some will retain their social skills. In others, a tendency toward bluntness may develop into open rudeness. Some people who have dementia are fearful and suspicious, leading them to make accusations. Catastrophic reactions account for some of this behavior. The person who has dementia often misjudges the one he is speaking to or misjudges the situation. A secretary was talking with a man who had dementia while the doctor spoke with the man's wife. He was obviously trying to make polite conversation, but he had lost the subtlety he once had. "How old are you?" he asked. "You look pretty old." When she answered another question with, "No, I'm not married," he said, "I guess no one would have you." People chuckle at this sort of behavior in a small child because everyone understands that a child has not yet learned good manners. It will be helpful to you if most of the people around you understand that the person has an illness that causes dementia and affects his memory of good manners. Most people are now aware of Alzheimer's disease. They should recognize that these behaviors are the result of specific diseases and that, while such behavior is sad, it is not deliberate. To those people who see you and the person who has dementia often, such as neighbors, friends, church or temple members, and perhaps familiar store clerks, you may want to give a brief explanation of the person's illness. When you make this explanation, you should reassure people that the illness does not make the person dangerous and that he is not crazy. Some caregivers have cards printed up that say something like, "Please pardon my family member who has Alzheimer's disease. Although he looks well, this disease has destroyed his memory." You may want to add a few lines about the disease and how to find more information about Alzheimer's disease. If a person who has dementia creates a scene in a public place, perhaps due to a catastrophic reaction, remove him gently. It may be best to say nothing. While this can be embarrassing, you do not necessarily owe strangers any explanation. Distraction is a good way to get a person out of what might become an embarrassing situation. For example, if he's asking personal questions, change the subject. When he tells others that you are keeping him prisoner or not feeding him, try distracting him. Avoid denying directly, as this can turn into an argument. If these are people you know, you may want to explain what happened later. If they are strangers, ask yourself whether it really matters what strangers think. Sometimes there is a gossip or insensitive person in a community who may build on the inappropriate remarks of a person who has dementia. It's important that you not be upset by such gossip. Usually, other people have an accurate estimate of the truth of such gossip. Taking things. People who have dementia may pick up things in stores and not pay for them, or may accuse the sales clerk of stealing their money. One wife reported that her husband was stealing and butchering the neighbor's chickens. He didn't realize that they were not his own and was proud to be helping with dinner. If a person is taking things in stores, he may be doing so because he has forgotten to pay for them, or because he doesn't realize that he's in a store. Several families have found that giving the person things to hold or asking him to push the shopping cart so that his hands are occupied will stop the problem. Before you leave the store, check to see if he has anything in his pockets. You may want to dress him in something that has no pockets the next time you go shopping. If the person continues to do this, you might ask your doctor for a brief letter explaining that the person has dementia and sometimes forgets that he has put things in his pockets. If he does take something and you discover it later, or if he's caught by store personnel, you can use the letter to help explain matters. The wife of the man who took chickens had her clergy person explain things to the neighbors and then arrange to replace any chickens that turned up on her dinner table. Forgetting telephone calls. Forgetful people who can still talk clearly often continue to answer a landline or their own cell phone. However, they may not remember to write down telephone messages. This can upset friends, confuse people, and cause you considerable inconvenience and embarrassment. You may want to discontinue having a landline and use your cell phone as your primary phone. If most people still call you on the landline, have that number transferred to a cell phone account. However, some people who have dementia are able to use a telephone but not a cell phone, either because they have done so for many years or because the touch buttons are large. If you still have a landline, find out if an answering machine feature that records all calls is available. If the person who has dementia has a cell phone and you're concerned about missing calls, you can check the call log to determine if they received calls that you should know about. One husband writes, "I found out from the log on her phone that she called the dentist 5 times, probably about her upcoming appointment. Since I knew about it, I called them and told them how to manage that." Demands. Mr. Cooper refused to stop living alone, even though it was clear to his family that he could not manage. Instead, he called his daughter at least once a day with real emergencies that sent her dashing across town to help out. His daughter felt angry and manipulated. She was neglecting her own family, and she was exhausted. She felt that her father had always been a self-centered, demanding person, and that his current behavior was deliberately selfish. Mrs. Dietz lived with her daughter. The two women had never gotten along well, and now Mrs. Dietz had Alzheimer's disease. She was wearing her daughter out with demands. "Get me a cigarette. Fix me some coffee." The daughter couldn't tell her mother to do things herself because she started fires. Sometimes people who have dementia can be demanding and appear to be self-centered. This is especially hard to accept when the person does not appear to be significantly impaired. If you feel that this is happening, try to step back and objectively evaluate the situation. Is this behavior deliberate, or is it a symptom of the disease? The two can look alike, especially if the person had a way of making people feel manipulated before he developed dementia. However, what is often happening with a person who has dementia is not something he can control. Manipulative behavior requires the ability to plan, a skill that many people who have dementia lose over time. Perhaps you're experiencing an old style of relating to others that is no longer deliberate. An evaluation can be helpful because it tells you objectively how much of such behavior is something the person can remember to do or not to do. Some demanding behaviors reflect the person's feelings of loneliness, fright, or loss. For example, when a person has lost his ability to comprehend the passage of time and to remember things, being left alone for a short time can make him feel that he has been abandoned. This may lead to his accusing you of deserting him. Realizing that this behavior reflects feelings of abandonment can help you not to feel so angry and can help you respond to the real symptom, for example, that he feels abandoned, instead of responding to what seems to you like selfishness or manipulation. Sometimes you can devise ways for the person to continue to feel a sense of control over his life and mastery over his circumstances that are not so demanding of you. Mr. Cooper's daughter was able to find an apartment for her father in a sheltered housing building where meals, social services, and housekeeping were provided. This reduced the number of emergencies, but enabled Mr. Cooper to continue to feel independent. A medical evaluation confirmed for Mrs. Dietz's daughter that her mother could not remember her previous requests for a cigarette for even 5 minutes. After trying several things, the daughter realized that the stress of the relationship was too destructive and placed her mother in a residential care home. Others, who had not lived with Mrs. Dietz's abrasive personality, found her easier to care for. Families often ask whether they should spoil the person by meeting his demands or whether they should try to teach him to behave differently. The best course is often neither of these strategies. Because he can't control his behavior, you are not spoiling him, but it may be impossible for you to meet endless demands. Because the person has limited ability, if any, to learn, you can't teach him, and scolding may precipitate catastrophic reactions. If the person demands that you do things you think he can do, be sure that he really can do these things. He may be overwhelmed by the tasks. Breaking a task down into simple steps may make it possible for him to do it. Sometimes being specific and direct with the person helps. Saying, "I am coming to see you Wednesday," is more helpful than getting into an argument over why you don't visit more often. Say, "I will get you a cigarette when the timer goes off. Don't ask me for one until the timer goes off." Ignore further demands until then. You may have to set limits on what you realistically can do, but before you set limits, you need to know the extent of the person's disability and what other resources you can mobilize to replace what you can't do. You may need to enlist the help of an outside person, a nurse or a social worker who understands the disease, to help you work out a plan that provides good care for the person who has dementia without leaving you exhausted or trapped. Refer to Chapter 10. When demands make you feel angry and frustrated, try to find an outlet for your anger that does not involve the person who has dementia. Your anger can precipitate catastrophic reactions, which may make him even more recalcitrant. Stubbornness and uncooperativeness. "Whatever I want him to do, he won't do it," said one daughter-in-law. Said another, "Whenever it's time to dress Dad, he says he has already changed his clothes. He won't go to the doctor, and whatever I serve for dinner, he won't eat." Families often suspect that a stubborn and uncooperative person who has dementia is deliberately trying to frustrate them. It's hard to know whether a person who has always been stubborn is now more so, or whether the stubbornness is because of the dementia. Some people are more uncooperative than others by nature. However, this kind of behavior is usually at least partly caused by the illness. If a person can't remember when he last took a bath, he may be insulted when he's told to bathe. This is understandable. The person may not understand what he is being asked to do, go to the doctor, help set the table, and so he refuses. Uncooperativeness may seem a safer course than risking making a fool of oneself. Sometimes a statement such as, "I hate this food," really means, "I am miserable." Be sure that requests are understood. "Can you smell our supper cooking? See the roast? It will be delicious. Have a seat. We'll be eating soon." Focusing on a pleasant experience sometimes helps. "As soon as we leave Dr. Brown's office, we'll celebrate with a big ice cream cone." If strategies like this do not work, and sometimes nothing does, consider that the negative attitudes are often a part of the illness rather than a personal attack. The person may be too confused to intend to insult your cooking. Take the path of least difficulty. Avoid arguments and accept whatever compromise will work. when the person who has dementia insults the sitter. When a family is able to arrange for someone to stay with the person who has dementia, he may fire the sitter or housekeeper. He may become angry or suspicious, insult her, not let her in, or accuse her of stealing. This can make it seem impossible for you to get out of the house, or may mean that the person can no longer live in his own home. Often, you can find ways to solve the problem. As with many other behavioral symptoms, this situation may arise out of the person's inability to make sense out of his surroundings or to remember explanations. All he may recognize is that a stranger is in the house. Sometimes the presence of a babysitter means a further loss of his independence, which he may realize and react to. Make sure the sitter knows that it is you, not the person who has dementia, who has the authority to hire and fire. This means that you must trust the sitter absolutely. If possible, find a sitter the person already knows, or introduce the person to the sitter gradually. The first time or two, have the sitter come while you remain at home. Eventually, the person may become accustomed to the idea that the sitter belongs there. This will also give you an opportunity to teach the sitter how you manage certain situations and to evaluate how well the sitter relates to the person who has dementia. Be sure the sitter understands the nature of the illness that causes dementia and knows how behaviors such as catastrophic reactions are handled. Hiring a sitter is discussed in Chapter 10. Try to find sitters who are adept at engaging the person's trust and who are clever about managing him without triggering a catastrophic reaction. Just as there are some people who are naturally good with children and others who are not, there are some people who are intuitively adept with people who have dementia. However, they are often hard to find. If the person will not accept one sitter, try another. Ask yourself whether your reluctance to use a sitter is part of the problem. Be sure the sitter can reach you, another family member, and the doctor in the event of a problem. Give them a list of appropriate numbers to call. Often, the person will adjust to the presence of a sitter if both you and the sitter can weather the initial stormy period. Introduce the sitter as a friend who wants to visit with you, and not as a sitter, or perhaps as a new housekeeper. If the person is suspicious of the sitter, his doctor may be able to write a signed note to him reminding him to stay with the visitor. If there's no other alternative, medications that reduce suspiciousness might be tried very cautiously. In all events, consider your own health. Even if a sitter does upset the person who has dementia, it's essential that you get out from time to time if you are to continue to be able to give care. Refer to Chapter 10. Using medication to manage behavior. This chapter has suggested many ways to address behavioral symptoms. Ideally, medication would never be necessary to control these symptoms. In the past, drugs were overprescribed as treatments for behavioral and emotional symptoms, but antipsychotic and sedative medications have multiple serious side effects. Concern is greatest regarding the use of antipsychotic drugs because they significantly increase the risk of death in people who have dementia. As a result, these drugs should be used only when other reasonable interventions have been tried and not worked, and if there is a meaningful likelihood of harm or severe distress associated with the behavior or symptom. If antipsychotic or sedative drugs must be used, they're most effective when targeted to specific symptoms. They're not helpful when given for generalized or non-specific reasons. If the behavior is potentially dangerous to the person who has dementia or others, or he has a condition for which there is a specific treatment, such as depression, then medication might be tried before other approaches have failed. They should be tried for a specified period of time, usually weeks or a few months at most, and stopped if the problem is not improving. Chapter 8. Symptoms associated with mood change and suspiciousness. Depression, People with memory problems may also be sad, low, or depressed. When a person has memory problems and is depressed, it's important that the correct diagnosis be made and the depression treated. The memory problems may improve when the depression is treated, whether or not the depression is caused by the dementia. When a person with an incurable disease is depressed, it can seem logical that she's depressed about the chronic illness. But not all people who have Alzheimer's disease or other chronic illnesses are depressed. In fact, most are not, and many seem to be unaware of their problems. A certain amount of discouragement about one's condition in illness is natural and understandable, but a deep despondency or a continuing depression is neither natural nor necessary. Fortunately, this kind of depression responds well to treatment, so the person can feel better whether or not she also has an irreversible dementia. Mrs. Sanchez was irritable and often whined about her health. She said she just wanted to die, and she was losing weight. It seemed that there was never a time when she cheered up. Because she had a serious memory problem, the doctor said she had Alzheimer's disease. A psychiatrist determined that she was also depressed. When her depression was treated with medication, her mood and her memory improved. She gained weight. From time to time, the doctor had to change her medication to manage her depression. She gradually became more forgetful, and ultimately it was clear that she did have Alzheimer's disease as well as depression. Treating her depression enabled her to live as full a life as possible and made caregiving much more pleasant for her family. It's important that a physician assess the person's depression and determine whether it is a response to a situation or the kind of despondency that will respond to medication, and then treat the depression appropriately. Indications of depression include frequent crying, weight loss, fatigue, a change in sleep patterns, feelings that one has done something bad and deserves to be punished, or a preoccupation with health problems that are not confirmed by a medical evaluation. The person may not say that she feels depressed. It may be impossible for a depressed person to snap out of it by herself. Telling her to do so may only increase her feelings of frustration and discouragement. For some people, trying to cheer them up makes them feel that they are not understood. You can encourage a depressed or discouraged person to continue to be around other people. If she has memory problems, be sure that the activities she tries are things she can still do successfully and are of some use so that she can feel good about herself for doing them. Help her avoid tasks that are too complicated. Even small failures can make her feel more discouraged about herself. Have her help you set the table. If she doesn't have that much energy, have her set just one place. If that task is too complicated, have her set out just the plates. If groups of people upset her, encourage her not to withdraw completely, but instead to talk with one familiar person at a time. Ask one friend to visit. Urge the friend to talk to the depressed person, to meet her eyes and involve her. When a person is feeling discouraged, it may be helpful for her to talk over her concerns with a knowledgeable counselor, a member of the clergy, a physician, a psychiatrist, or a psychologist. This is possible only when she can still communicate well and remember some things. This person must be a professional who understands dementia and who will adjust the treatment accordingly. Complaints about health. If the person often complains about health problems, it's important to take these complaints seriously and have a doctor determine whether there is a physical basis for them. Remember that chronic complainers can get sick. It's easy to overlook real illnesses when a person frequently focuses on things that have no physical basis. When you and the doctor are sure that there's no physical illness present, the doctor can treat the depression that is the underlying cause of the problem. Never let a physician dismiss a person as just a hypochondriac. Suicide. When a person is depressed, demoralized, or discouraged, there is always a possibility that she will harm herself. While it may be difficult for a person who has dementia to plan a suicide, you do need to be alert to the possibility that she will injure herself. If she has access to a knife, a gun, power tools, solvents, medications, or car keys. She may use them to kill or maim herself. Statements about suicide should always be taken seriously. Notify your physician. Alcohol or drug abuse. Depressed people may use alcohol, tranquilizers, or other drugs to try to blot out the feelings of sadness. This can compound the problem. For a person who has dementia, it can also further reduce her ability to function. You need to be especially alert to this possibility in someone who is living alone or who has used medications or alcohol in the past. People who are heavy drinkers and who also develop dementia can be difficult for their families to manage. The person may be more sensitive to small amounts of alcohol than a well person, so even one drink or one beer can significantly reduce her ability to function. She may be unable to tolerate the same amount of alcohol that she used to be able to handle. People who are depressed often don't eat properly, causing nutritional problems that further impair them. They may also act nasty, stubborn, or hostile. It helps to recognize that the brain impairment may make it impossible for the person to control her drinking or her other behaviors, and that you may have to provide this control for her. Doing so will include taking steps to make alcohol unavailable to her. Do so quietly, but firmly. Try not to feel that her unpleasant behavior is aimed at you personally. Avoid saying things that put the blame for the situation on anybody. Do what needs to be done, but try to find ways for the person to retain her self-esteem and dignity. There should be no liquor in the house unless it's locked away. One family was able to arrange with the local liquor store to stop selling to the person who had dementia. You may need help from a counselor or a physician to manage the behavior of a person with a memory problem who also abuses alcohol or drugs. Apathy and listlessness. Many people who have dementia become apathetic and listless. They just sit and don't want to do anything. Such people may be easier to care for than people who are upset, but it's important not to overlook their needs. Apathy and listlessness are evidence that the parts of the brain that control initiative and energy are not working properly. It's important to keep people who have dementia as active as possible. They need to move around and to use their minds and bodies as much as possible. Withdrawing may be a person's way of coping when things get too complicated. If you insist on her participation, she may have a catastrophic reaction. Try to re-involve her at a level at which she can feel comfortable, can succeed, and can feel useful. Ask her to do a simple task. Take her for a walk and point out interesting things. Play some music or go for a car ride. It often seems that getting the body moving helps cheer a person up. Once a person starts doing something, she may begin to feel less apathetic. Perhaps she can peel only one potato today. Tomorrow, she may feel like doing two. Perhaps she can spade the garden. Even if she spades for only a few minutes, it may have helped for her to get moving. If she stops a task after a few minutes, instead of urging her to go on, focus your attention on what she has accomplished and compliment her on that. Occasionally, when you try to get a person active, she may become upset or agitated. If this happens, you'll need to weigh the importance of her being active against her being upset. Remembering feelings. People who have dementia may remember their feelings far longer than they remembered the situation that caused the feelings. Mrs. Bishop stayed angry with her daughter for days, but she forgot that there was a good reason why her daughter had acted as she did. Likewise, some people constantly restate the same suspicious ideas. Their families understandably wonder why they can't remember other things as well as they remember these suspicions. Our brain probably processes and stores the memory of feelings in different places and ways than it does memories of facts. For reasons we don't understand, emotional memories seem to be less vulnerable to the devastations of the illness that causes dementia. This can have a good side, because people often remember good feelings longer than the facts surrounding them. One woman insisted that she had been dancing at the daycare center, although she was confined to a wheelchair. She meant that she had had a good time there. One man always stayed happy for hours after a visit from his grandchildren, even though he forgot their visit itself soon after they had left. Anger and irritability. Sometimes people who have illnesses that cause dementia become angry. They may lash out at you as you try to help them. They may slam things around, hit you, refuse to be cared for, throw food, yell, or make accusations. This behavior can be upsetting for you and may cause problems in the household. It can seem as if all this hostility is aimed at you, despite your best efforts to take care of the person, and you may be afraid that she'll hurt herself or someone else when she lashes out in anger. This is certainly a concern. However, our experience has been that it occurs rarely and can usually be controlled. Angry or violent behavior is usually a catastrophic reaction and should be handled as you would any other catastrophic reaction. Refer to Chapter 3. Respond calmly. Do not respond with anger. Remove the person from the situation or remove the upsetting stimulus. Look for the event that precipitated the reaction so that you can prevent or minimize a recurrence. Try not to interpret anger in the same way as you would if it came from a well person. Anger from a person who has dementia is often exaggerated or misdirected. The person may not really be angry at you at all. The anger could well be the result of misunderstanding what's happening. For example, Mr. Jones adored his small grandson. One day the grandchild tripped and fell and began to cry. Mr. Jones grabbed a knife, began to yell, and would allow no one near the child. Mr. Jones had misinterpreted the cause of the child's crying and overreacted. He thought someone was attacking the child. Fortunately, the child's mother understood what was happening. "I will help you protect the baby," she said to Mr. Jones. She gave Mr. Jones a job to do. "Here, you hold the door for me." Then she was able to pick up and quiet the child. Ironically, forgetfulness can be an advantage because the person may quickly forget the episode. Often, you can distract a person who is behaving this way by changing the topic of discussion to something you know she likes. Mrs. Williams' mother-in-law often got angry and nasty when Mrs. Williams tried to prepare supper. Mr. Williams began distracting his mother by spending that time each day visiting with just her in another part of the house. Once in a while, a person experiencing a catastrophic reaction will hit someone who's trying to help her. Respond to this as you would to a catastrophic reaction. When at all possible, do not restrain her. If this occurs frequently, you may need to ask her clinician to help you review what's upsetting the person. In rare instances, medication might be necessary. If anger, irritability, or hitting and yelling are happening a lot, you must seek help for yourself and the person who has dementia. These are signs that the burden of the situation is overwhelming for you. Find a way to have time for yourself away from the person who has dementia so that you can keep your emotional balance. Anxiety, nervousness, and restlessness. People who have dementia may become worried, anxious, agitated, and upset. They may pace or fidget. Their constant restlessness can get on your nerves. The person may not be able to tell you why she's upset, or she may give you an unreasonable explanation for her anxiety. For example, Mr. Berger was obviously upset over something, but whenever his wife tried to find out what it was, he would say that his father was coming to get him. Telling him that his father had been dead for years only caused him to cry and pace. Some anxiety and nervousness may be caused by the changes within the brain. Other nervousness may come from real feelings of loss or tension. The emotional distress that arises from not knowing where one is, what one is expected to do, and where one's familiar possessions are can lead to almost constant feelings of anxiety, Some people sense that they often do things wrong and become anxious about messing up. Longing for a familiar environment, I want to go home, or worrying about people from the past, where are my children, can create even more anxiety. Reassurance, affection, and distraction may be all you can offer. Medication only occasionally helps relieve these feelings and should be tried only if other options have failed and if the anxiety is very severe and occurs frequently. Even people who have a severe dementia remain sensitive to the moods of the people around them. If there's tension in the household, no matter how well you try to conceal it, the person may respond to it. For example, Mrs. Powell argued with her son over something minor, and just when that was solved, her confused mother began to cry because she felt like something dreadful was going to happen. Her feeling was a real response to the mood in the house, but because she was cognitively impaired, her interpretation of the cause of the feeling was incorrect. The person may be sad and worried over losing some specific item, like her watch. Reassuring her that you have the watch may not seem to help. Again, she has an accurate feeling. Something is lost. Her memory is lost. Time is lost. Many things are lost. But the explanation of the feeling is inaccurate. Respond with affection and reassurance to her emotions, which are an accurate reflection of what she's experiencing, and avoid trying to convince her that what she is expressing is unreasonable. Trying to get the person to explain what is troubling her or arguing with her, there's no reason to get upset, may only make her more upset. For example, every afternoon at 2 o'clock, Mrs. Novak began to pace and wring her hands at the daycare center. She told the staff that she was going to miss the train to Baltimore. Telling her she lives in Denver and was not going to Baltimore only upset her more. The staff realized that she was probably worried about going home, and they reassured her that they would see that she got home safely. This always calmed her down. They had responded appropriately to her feelings. Not all anxiety and nervousness go away so easily. Sometimes these feelings are inexplicable. Offering the person comfort and reassurance and trying to simplify her environment may be all that you can do to counteract the effects of her brain disease. When people who have dementia pace, fiddle with things, resist care, shove the furniture around, run away from home or from the daycare center, or turn on the stove and all the water faucets, they may make others around them nervous. Their restless, irritable behavior is hard for families to manage without help. Agitation may reflect the fact that people are feeling depressed, angry, or anxious. It may be a manifestation of restlessness or boredom, a symptom of pain caused by medications, or an inexplicable part of the illness that is causing their dementia. Respond calmly and gently. Try to simplify what's going on around the person and avoid overloading their mental circuits. Your calmness and gentleness will be communicated to them. You may find it helpful to give the person who is mildly restless something to fiddle with. Giving the person something constructive to do with their energy, such as walking to the mailbox to get the mail, may help. If the person is drinking caffeinated beverages, coffee, cola, tea, switching to non-caffeinated drinks might help. One woman was restless much of the time. She paced, fidgeted, and wandered. Her husband stopped telling her to sit down and instead began handing her a deck of cards, saying, "Here, Helen, play some solitaire." He took advantage of her lifelong enjoyment of this card game, even though she no longer played it correctly. Sometimes physical overactivity is the result of frequent or almost continuous catastrophic reactions. Try to find ways to reduce the confusion, extra stimulation, noise, and change around the person. Revisit the sections on catastrophic reactions in Chapter 3 and on wandering in Chapter 7. False ideas, suspiciousness, paranoia, and hallucinations. Forgetful people may become unreasonably suspicious. They may suspect or accuse others of stealing their money, their possessions, and even things nobody would take, like an old toothbrush. They may hoard or hide things. They may shout for help or call the police. A person who has dementia may begin accusing her spouse of infidelity. People who have dementia may develop unshakable ideas that things have been stolen from them or that people are going to harm them. Carried to an extreme, these ideas can make the person fearful and resistant to all attempts at care and help. Occasionally, people who have dementia develop distressing and strange ideas that they seem to remember and insist on. They may insist that this is not where they live, that people who are dead are alive and are coming for them, or that someone who lives in the house is a stranger and perhaps dangerous. Occasionally, a person will insist that her husband is not her husband. He is someone who looks like her husband, but is an imposter. A person who has dementia may hear, see, feel, or smell things that are not there. Such hallucinations may terrify her if she sees a strange man in the bedroom, or amuse her if she sees a puppy on the bed. These behaviors are upsetting for families because they're strange and frightening and because we associate them with insanity. They may never happen to your family member, but you should be aware of them in case you have to respond to such an experience. When they occur in the presence of an illness that causes dementia, they are usually the result of the brain injury or a superimposed delirium and are not symptoms of other mental illness. Misinterpretation. Sometimes these problems are due to the person's misinterpretation of what she sees and hears. If she sees poorly in the dark, she may misinterpret the moving curtains as a strange man. If she hears poorly, she may suspect conversations to be people talking about her. If she loses her shoes, she may misinterpret the loss as a theft. Is the person seeing accurately in the dark, or is she hearing as well as she should? Help the cognitively impaired person see and hear as well as possible, because she may not realize her sensory limitations. Be sure her glasses and/or hearing aids are working well. If the room is dimly lit, see if improving the lighting helps. If the room is noisy or if sounds are muted, she may need help identifying sounds. Refer to hearing problems in Chapter 6. Closing the curtains may help if she's seeing someone outside at night. If you think the person is misinterpreting things, you may be able to help by explaining what she sees or hears. Say, for example, that movement is the curtains, or that tapping noise is the bush outside your window. This is different from directly disagreeing with her, which may cause her to have a catastrophic reaction. Avoid saying, there is no man in the bedroom, or nobody is trying to sneak in. Now go to sleep. If the person does not hear well, it may help to include her in the conversation by addressing her directly rather than talking about her. Look directly at her. Some people who have dementia can gain understanding from nonverbal aspects of communication, such as facial expressions, tone of voice, or body language, even when their hearing is poor. Include the person in the conversation. You might say, Mom, John says the weather has been terrible lately. Or, Mom, John says your new grandchild is sitting up now. Never talk about someone in the third person as if she weren't there, no matter how out of it you think she is. This is dehumanizing and can understandably make a person angry. Ask other people to avoid doing it too. Sometimes the person's brain incorrectly interprets what her senses see or hear correctly. This is often what happens when a person becomes unrealistically suspicious. Sometimes you can help by giving the person accurate information or writing down reminders. You may have to repeat the same information frequently because the person will tend to forget quickly what you say. Failure to recognize people or things. Agnosia. People who have illnesses that cause dementia may lose the ability to recognize familiar things or people, not because they have forgotten them or because their eyes aren't working, but because the brain is not able to correctly put together the information it's receiving. This is called agnosia, from Latin words meaning to not know or recognize. It can be a baffling symptom. For example, Mrs. Kravitz said to her husband, "Who are you? What are you doing in my house?" This is not a problem of memory. Mrs. Kravitz had not forgotten her husband. In fact, she recognized him immediately from his voice. But her brain could not figure out who he was from what her eyes saw. Mr. Clark insisted that this was not his house, although he had lived there many years. He had not forgotten his home, but because his brain couldn't connect what he was accurately seeing with what it remembered about the appearance of his house, the place did not look familiar. You can help by giving the person other information. It may help to say, "I guess it doesn't look familiar, but this is your house." Hearing your voice may help her recognize who you are if her voice recognition is still accurate. "You are not my husband." Occasionally, a person who has an illness that causes dementia will insist that her spouse is not her spouse or that her home is not her real home. These are forms of agnosia. Reassure the person, "I know I look old, but I am your husband," but avoid arguing. Although this may seem heartbreaking, it's important for you to reassure yourself that it is not a rejection of you. The person does remember you. It's just an inexplicable misperception by the damaged brain. "My mother is coming for me." Someone who has an illness that causes dementia may forget that a person she once knew has died. She may say, "My mother is coming for me," or she may say that she has been visiting with her grandmother. Perhaps her memory of the person is stronger than her memory of the death. Perhaps in her mind, the past has become the present. Instead of either contradicting her or playing along with her, try responding to her general feelings of loss if you feel that this is what she's expressing. Telling the person who has dementia outright that her mother has been dead for years may upset her terribly. Most of us want to tell the truth, and it is reasonable to see how the person reacts to the truth. Most of the time, unfortunately, the person who has dementia cannot remember this very important piece of information, even after being told several times. Her focus on these memories probably means that they're important to her. Ask her to tell you about her mother. Look through a photo album from those years, or retell some old family stories. This responds to her feelings without hurting her again and again. Sometimes people feel that this idea is spooky or that the person is seeing the dead. It's much more likely to be another symptom like forgetfulness, wandering, or catastrophic reactions. Perhaps you will decide that this issue is not worth the argument. Suspiciousness. If a person is suspicious or paranoid, one must consider the possibility that her suspicions are founded on fact. Sometimes, when a person is known to be unusually suspicious, real causes for her suspiciousness are overlooked. In fact, she might be being victimized.